thought of this the other day when I thought of the new movie that's out, the new Christian movie. What's it called? God's Not Dead. Part two? This is part one. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. No! He is alive. God's not dead. No! He is alive. I feel him all over me. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in the church. I feel him in the street. I feel him in the air. I feel him everywhere. I feel him all over me. Come on, no, no, no. No, 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 no. God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead. No, he is alive. I feel him all over me. There's more verses, but I'll spare you. How many of y'all know that's true? Right? But sometimes we read the Word of God and go, oh, that's cool. I believe that. That's awesome. That's powerful. That's mighty. And you wouldn't say this out loud, but you're thinking, but I really don't think it happens like it did back in the first century church. I know you would never say that, but your experience, I'm just saying, let's say it loud. Let's listen to the Lord this morning and know that everything he proclaimed when he was walking the earth, everything that's written in the Word of God is the same today. Y'all know the scripture, don't you? Jesus Christ, what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes we walk like we don't believe it. It's truth. It is truth. No matter what your experience is, no matter what you've seen or encountered in the past, you don't go by sight, you go by faith. Right? So we're going to believe God's going to do some mighty things today. And if I just teach you something that's out of the Word of God and you believe it and you grab onto it and you advocate it over your life, there'll be a change and it'll be a good one. If you just listen or don't really bother to listen and just walk away, it says it's like a man that looks in a mirror and he walks away and forgets what he looks like, you know, and we don't want to be like that, do we? So we hold our hands up and we say, Jesus, I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer, but I am going to be a doer. Say it. I'm going to be a doer of the word. No matter how little I've done in the past, no matter how much I've done in the past, Lord, the future is now, God. The future is now. Revival is now. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And Jesus, I will be a doer. I will be one who changes things on this earth by the kingdom of God working in me, through me, around me. Because of me, there's revival. Because of me, living water flows everywhere I go in Jesus' name. And that's not prideful. That's just who Jesus said you are. Right? All right. Don't get too excited. Y'all can sit down. So I got a reason for playing this quippy little song. Some of y'all will remember it. Some of you won't even know who this person is. And I would have played a Morningstar version of what I'm going to teach, but I thought, no, there's a reason for playing this. So Dan, if you would play that, crank it up good. Don't throw bricks at me. It's from way in the past, but it's, the words are strong. Crank it.
Prison, the man heard Herod say, and then four squads of soldiers came and carried him away. Chained up between two watchmen, Peter tried to sleep, but beyond the walls an endless prayer was lifting for his keep. Then a light cut through the darkness of a lonely prison cell, and the chains that bound the man of God just opened up and fell. And running to his people before the break of was threatened just today. A reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. Near misses all around me, accidents unknown. Though I never see with human eyes the hands that lead me home. But I know they're all around me, all day and through the night. When the enemy is closing in, I know sometimes they fight to keep my feet from falling. I'll never turn away. If you're asking what's protecting me, then you're gonna hear me say, God has angels watching over me.
How many of y'all know who that was? Amy Grant. Very good. How many of y'all didn't know who that was? That's how quick the generation gap pops up, isn't it? You know, that was a radical song back when it came out. You know that? You're going, what? No, the church was going, this is demonic. It's demonic to have the beat. No, really, it was. The church thought this contemporary music's what they called it devil rock. But really, the church would not embrace the new sound that God was pouring out. And of course, some people stuck on Amy Grant, you know, and they don't want to go no further than that. So God's constantly changing things. But the point of that song was, I thought it has a lot of biblical stuff in it. But it's almost like a light and fluffy, well, we know angels are there, but we don't really ever see them, and we're never really aware of them. And not to focus on angels, but I think the Lord showed me we need to learn a little bit today so we'll expect their help. Because God does assign angels to people. God does assign angel to ministry. God assigns warring angels, protecting angels, healing angels. There's all kinds of different ministries. So we'll just go in. We'll scratch the surface, okay? So Lord, help me to teach. I generally, lots of times, get off and start preaching, so I just pray you'd help me to teach what I've got here. And Lord, it would be, it would draw our spirits to you, Lord. It wouldn't, I just pray, God, it would never be boring, because, God, I know you're not boring, and your word's never boring. So, Lord, do mightily, God, what only you can do, Jesus. Well, last week we talked about peace, God's peace, and I don't know if y'all been standing on that scripture this week or not, but finally, brethren, whatever things are good, pure, kind, da-da-da-da, think on these things, and the peace of God will enable you, will come upon you. And like I say, I don't want to, but a lot of people go to a lot of trouble. And if you're ever not here, don't do this unless you can't be at church, because you're needed. You know, you're needed at church. I don't know how many of y'all saw the post Rich Mullins. Did you see that saying that I posted? Rich Mullins talked about, and it's pretty powerful, it's on Facebook. But if you ever aren't here and you want to hear what the body's hearing, you know, you can pull it up on a podcast that Holly went to a whole lot of trouble to build that website or whatever you had to do. She had to go through a whole lot, and Kristen has to go through a whole lot to download it every week. So You know, you can do it while you're mowing the yard. You can do it while you're going to work. I mean, it's so awesome. So it's you can pick it up on iTunes, or you can go to our church website, which is faith4harvest.com, and you can go back and you can listen to stuff from a long time ago. You can, I think Jerry Hill's probably on there, and there's a lot of good. David Hogan's on there, so there's a lot of good stuff on there. Pastor Mark's on there. Praise the Lord. Who's that? John Jeffries. Jeff Johns. Okay. Praise the Lord. John Jeff. Well, you know, it's two first names, so it's easy to transpose them. I can understand that. Billy Bob, Bob Billy. I know. Okay, remember this. Say a lot of this. We said it earlier, but Jesus Christ, say it out loud. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday. Yeah, come on. Yesterday. Come on. Yesterday. Today. And forever. Do you believe it? That's good. And I want to tell you, I'm going to read some stuff. So God's true angels will not let you worship them. You don't have to worry about worshiping an angel, okay? Because if you worship a true angel of God, they're going to let you know real quick. And I got a scripture there, but in Revelation it said, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." This is in Revelation. And this is John the Revelator. "I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" So, we're not to worship angels. How many of y'all already knew that? Because there's two kinds of angels, by the way. There's God's angels, and there's the enemy's angels, the hell's angels, not the motorcycle group. But there are two kinds of angels. And the ones that we serve that serve us, we don't serve them, they serve us, and they serve God. There's twice as many of them as there is the enemy's angels. Because a third of the enemy's angels followed Satan when he decided he deserved worship. So, two-thirds of them stayed true. They're not saved like we are. They were created beings, and their job was to worship the King. Their job was to do assignments for the Lord. Their job was to be assigned over us. The Bible says that they were to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So, they do a whole lot of things, and we won't even touch it. So, we shouldn't worship them, but we should talk about them. Because God talks about angels, doesn't he? A lot. Look through the Bible and punch Strong's and see how many reference to angels there is in the Bible. It's huge. And God told us that we may even entertain angels without even knowing it. Y'all know that verse, because, of course, most churches think that's the only way it's ever going to happen is you're going to entertain some stranger and not even know that it was an angel. That's not true. It could be that way. You may say that you've never talked to an angel, but how would you know if they hid themselves? I mean, how would you know? You may have talked to an angel. Angels, say this, angels are important. Angels are important. Because whatever God sends to help us is important. That's true, isn't it? It'd be like if your father, your earthly father, gave you a gift and you said, "I don't need that. I could do without that." You know, I wouldn't. So we need to embrace all the gifts of God, all the things of God that will help us prosper and help the kingdom of God prosper, right? Angels can appear to us in three forms. They can appear to us in the spirit form. They can appear as a veil. They can appear as something you see maybe during worship. Maybe you've never seen an angel. Maybe you'll never see an angel. And that's, don't feel, some people have a seer anointing where they see more clearly into the Spirit. That's not, no condemnation. But how many of y'all would say, I've seen angels? I've seen maybe just, what's the word? You have, Susan? You have Nina? I'm not surprised, Nina. Sarah? You've seen angels? You both seen angels? Wow. Hold your hands up high. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So sometimes they can appear, and I have seen them not very frequently, but the ones I see are about the height. In fact, they were standing on either side under those banners, and not under them because their heads came up to about where the top of that banner is. They were big. I don't know if that's 15 feet. I don't know, but it's big. Okay, I don't want a little baby with wings. You can have those little things. I want one, whoa, with a sword, you know. Something that can take out the enemy, right? So sometimes they come in a spirit form. Sometimes they come in a human form. And I know one time for sure, I can't tell the whole story because we were doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing, me and Donna, but I can tell you that David's guardian angel appeared. Can I tell you a story? Yes. We were in the Smoky Mountains, and we were camping, and it was a rainy, nasty day. It was like mud all over there was like cliff lines all the way around us. And there was no way you could climb up one of these cliffs. There is no way. You would have. Well, anyway, we decided to take a nap. And so I won't go into great details, but we all laid down. David laid down in the front. We laid down in the bed on the back. And all of a sudden, I heard the van door open. It's raining like crazy outside, raining like crazy. And I looked up, and this little girl, about this big, about David's age, in a white, like when I was a kid, kids used to go to birthday parties, they wore a white lace, you know, just beautiful lace with bows and stuff on it, with blonde hair and piercing blue eyes. And I looked up there, and I saw her. And David looked up there and saw her, and we're like, whoa, what is this? And so I started up front of the van to see what was going on. Well, she slammed the door, and as soon as I got out, I looked all around. I walked around that whole area, and she was gone. Well, me and Donna was getting ready to do something in front of David that, it was protecting his spirit. I feel like that's what that angel was sent there for, but that never left me. And we were lost. We were very lost. We weren't walking with God, but I knew something. I knew it was supernatural. I don't know, probably at the time I might have thought, well, it's a ghost or something, but it was God's angel. I know that with all my heart. So sometimes they come in human form, and sometimes you may just sense their presence. You ever just sense the presence of angels? What's the name of that song? In the Presence of Angels, da 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 da, from the revival at Lakeland. Roy Fields, In the Presence of Angels. Awesome song. But sometimes we just feel them. We sense they're there. You may even feel their touch. You ever just felt like you was touched? Like, where'd that come from? There's nobody around me. So I'm not like, ooh, I don't want you to get spooked out. I just want you to know that they're real and they're to be embraced and they're not to, I say not to be afraid of, but I think every time one appeared to somebody in the Bible, fear came on them and they had to say, fear not. So I won't tell you that. They'll tell you that. 2 Kings, if you want to go there. They come to comfort. They come to bring faith. They want your eyes to be open to them. You realize that? They want you to know they want you to be aware that you're surrounded and protected by them. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. I'll give you all a second. Sorry, I should have told you earlier. Thank you all for bringing your Bibles. It's very important. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out. Now this was who? Gideon? Or Elisha? I'm sorry, Elisha. Elijah. Elijah's protege, Elisha. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And I'm not talking angelic hosts. There was an army with chariots, and they were outnumbered like they were toast. They were toast. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, or Elisha. How about that? So God wants our eyes open. He wants our eyes open. He wants us to know that, you know, the battle, if you look at the things going on, the politics, the election, all the stuff coming up, you can easily go, "But God, it's so big. It's so powerful. There's no way for America. It's just toast." It's like, open our eyes, God. Open our eyes, God. Open our eyes, God. Open our eyes, God, and show us you have a plan, you have a way, and you can take what the enemy has meant for evil, and you will turn it around if we'll just believe, and we'll just cry out for your deliverance. Yesterday was, I want to go into this, but yesterday was a celebration of Azusa Street, right? Anniversary? What, 110 years. Didn't get to watch it because I don't stream too well, but I heard that Donna saw a little bit of it, and that Lou Engels was in D.C., and it sounded to me just like the first call we went to. They had Jonathan Miracle there, and so there was repentance for the nation. A whole lot of stuff happened yesterday, and I'm sure you could pull it up and watch it. It would probably be good stuff, but I want to go on. Angels are ministering spirits, and again, I read this once, but are not the angels all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So back when Don and I were running 120 miles an hour up the waters and drunk out of our minds, splitting lanes on a Harley, which, you know, crotch rockets are built for that, but Harleys aren't built for that, but they will do it, but only if you've got angels around you. I will guarantee you there was big warring angels watching out for Mark Stephen Avery and Donna Marie Avery, watching out for us in our ignorance, in our drunkenness, in our carelessness. There was angels. And I know for a fact, many times we made it home, and I couldn't tell you how, why, but I know why. Because he had a plan. He had a plan. He had a plan for y'all. Some of y'all might have never done nothing bad, but he had a plan for you. He had a plan for you. How many of y'all have ever come like near death? Like, it should have happened, man. I fell off of something, or I should have fell off of something, or somebody pulled a gun on me and shot and it didn't go off. I mean, you know, stuff like that. God is taking care of his people. Right. Now, of course, there's a limit when they pull back. I don't know how. I don't know why. I guess when God goes, enough, you know. But praise the Lord for his angels, right? Psalm 103, very important. Verse 19, very important. If you want to look at that, Psalm 103:19. And I'm going to, after this, I'm just going to start reading off scripture to you because I don't want to take up too much time. Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word. Listen what it says, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So angels beckon to the word of God. Angels are drawn to the Word of God. When the Word of God is spoken in power, when it's spoken in faith and proclaimed, angels come in. It's like they have this radar, and it's like, I'm going there because God's Word's being spoken. I'm going there because praises are going up to God. I'm going there. I want to be there because my job is to praise the Lord. My job is to see that the Word of God's fulfilled. And I can partner with this guy or this girl. They don't fool around with people that won't partner with them. They might protect you, but they're not going to be upon your ministry. But I don't have a ministry. No, you just don't have a title over it. Titles mean nothing to God. Titles mean nothing to angels, you know? It's the presence. It's the power. It's the anointing, right? Angels beckon to the Word of God, right? Say, angels beckon to the Word of God. What's beckon mean? That's a big word. Angels are drawn, called. Say, angels are drawn to the Word of God. Angels are drawn to the Word. We're making proclamations here. Get excited. Angels are drawn to the Word of God. And I'll speak it. Woo! And believe it. Angels also beckon to the rhema Word of God. Angels beckon to the prophetic Word of God. If it's from God. If it's just some fluffy something, you know, no, they don't pay no attention. But when, see, how many of y'all, I keep asking you because you need to know, how many of y'all have ever got a prophetic word from God? You knew that this person was hearing from God. Now don't hold your hands up. How many of y'all beckoned to it? How many of y'all went, yes, Lord, I embrace that. You need to speak it every now and then. Get them angels activated again over that promise over your life. Right? Because what happens? It gets stale. It didn't happen right away. We people, especially in America, we like things like right now. We've been waiting a year, 6 months, 2 months, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But God's not into time. So we need to speak that word so God will activate His hosts so we can look and go, wow, them that are with me are more and greater than them that are in the world, right? If you don't believe it, you're not going to get any comfort from it. God's principles work. Whether you understand them or believe them or see them or not, but it's much better to walk in faith knowing, right? Angels are drawn to people who know, believe, and live the Word of God. And even when they fall, they get back up. God is into faithfulness. When the Lord tells you to go to battle, when the Lord gives you an assignment, how many of y'all have been given assignments from the Lord? You know, even though you think it was small, like go talk to my neighbor or go talk to that person over in Walmart, or you've had that, right? God is not interested in your talent. God's not interested in how polished you are. God is interested in people that will hook up to the plow, right? Isn't that what it says in the Bible? Jesus says, hook up to the plow and what? Don't look back. The only instance I can think of in the Bible when somebody looked back, they got turned into a block of salt. Remember what Jesus said, very, very important. Remember what? Remember Elijah? Remember John the Baptist? What did he say? He said, remember Lot's wife. Wow. Must be something we need to keep focused on, huh? Put your hand to the plow and don't look back, because angels will partner with you. Angels will go out and they'll start, listen, I see this in this. How many of y'all ever read This Present Darkness? Long time ago. Fiction, but powerful, and got you in tune that there's a demonic realm out there and there's demons and there's things going, also angelic realm. But you need to be aware, you know, when you take an assignment and you say, yes, Lord, I'll never deny you. Yes, Lord, I'll never turn back. Bible says count the cost. Count the cost. Because what happens is you go into battle and these armed and dangerous angels go in there and start whack, 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 whack. They start fighting with the enemy, right? They do war, right? And you pull back and go, I'm kind of tired of this. And they're beating their brains out to get this accomplished. They go, what are you talking about? You quit. Now we're going to get our butts kicked because there's no faith in this thing. And I'm not getting this out of the Bible, okay? I'm just telling you, if I was an angel... If I only had a brain. Okay, when you fall, you get up, right? When you take on an assignment, complete it. You complete it. That probably goes in the physical world too, don't it? Okay, there's angels. I'm not near finished. There's angels that bring direction. They give us strategies that tell us what path we want to go on, right? What he wants us to go on. An angel directed Joseph to take Mary as his wife, right? Because, I mean, he was going to look like he was marrying an adulteress, right? But he took Mary as his wife because the angel of God came and said, here, this is what I want. And it gave him comfort, didn't it? It gave him peace to make it through the times when people would give him a hard way to go. When you get a revelation from God, it's bigger than what people say. Did you know that? It's bigger than condemnation. It's bigger than people laughing at you. It no longer matters anymore when you know you've got a direct revelation from God. And he uses his angels to do it sometimes. And later on, the Holy Spirit, an angel came again and it told Joseph, he said, you take Mary and Jesus and you get to Egypt. And you know, a few minutes later, what happens? The Roman army comes in there to wipe out all the baby boys, right? So if Joseph had not listened, that's why he was chosen, because he listened and he obeyed, right? Okay, angels that bring direction. We must learn to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, or if angels, you know. We must learn to obey that voice when he gives us instruction, because it can save our lives. Amen. It can save our family. It can save our nation. It can save our church. Angels comfort. Mark 1, starting at verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. In Matthew 4:11, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. They ministered comfort. They ministered healing. But of course, Jesus still had to go through the trials, but they were there the whole time, you know. They were there watching over him. In fact, Satan quoted a verse from the Bible about angels, didn't he? He said, angels will keep you from stumping your foot or your toe on us. The angels will guard over you. What is it exactly, Lord? The
He said,
charge over you, which is from Psalm 91. So he knew the word of God, the devil did. And he knew that he couldn't touch Jesus unless he got prideful and started. So even the enemy knows the word of God, don't he? And trembles. Here's angels help with healing. John 5:2, the water at the pool of Bethesda was stirred ever so often by an angel, and healing came to those who stepped into it. So, Lord, we pray that you stir healing waters up, God. You stir healing waters up, Lord, in us, God. You still stir healing waters up at this altar area, God, in our homes. God, everywhere we go, God, if you want to send, we're asking you to send your healing angels, God, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring freedom in the name of Jesus. We decree that and we pray that in the name of Jesus. Angels encourage and strengthen. We need that sometimes, don't we? And this is after Elijah did some mighty acts. He called down the fire from heaven, and God moved mightily and killed the 900 prophets with 450 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Asherah. He slayed single-handedly with a sword 900 men, single-handedly equipped by the Holy Spirit. Right after that, Jezebel said, basically, you'll be dead. Let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. And when the Bible says when he saw that, I think he saw a demonic power. I think he saw a demon that said this to him. He said when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And then he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. He just took out 900 men single-handedly with a sword. He called down fire from heaven. Not only did it consume the sacrifice, it burned up the rock, it burned up the dirt, it burned up the water that he filled the trenches with. It was just God. No doubt it was God. Everybody knew it was God, because before he did that, what happened? He said to the people, who will you serve? Who is the Most High God? And they just silent, right? The fire came down from heaven and all this happened, and they said what? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So they even knew he was God, right? So Elijah knew, and yet the spirit of darkness came upon him, and he doubted that he was a man of God. He doubted that God could deliver him from this little ho, Jezebel. That's what she was. Sorry, I was trying to say it modern. That's what she was. She got everything done by lust, right? How many young men are being led around by the nose by lust right now? They watch pornography and they think, that's a woman. That's life. No, that's not reality. That's the enemy. It's a Jezebel spirit. And unless you have the power of God, and I better said I wouldn't get off my notes. So he laid down. He said, my life, I'm no better than my father's, Lord. Take my life, oh God. I've never seen your power or anything, God. I just, you know, I give up. And as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he would say that to everybody in this room. The journey is too great for you. The call of God is too great for you. You can't do this on your own, right? So he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So he ran for 40 days and 40 nights without any food. Ran. I don't know how far a distance this was, but he was making some time. Lord, I pray, just hold your hands out and receive. Lord, I pray you would send forth your Spirit and send forth the food of heaven, the food of angels, God, to strengthen us, to give us the ability to run and not grow weary, Lord, the ability to run without food, without water, without even provision, God, that you be our provision, you be my food, Lord, you be my drink, Lord. God, put us in that place of victory, God. Put us in that place of assurance of who we are in you, Jesus. Acts 12. Angels deliver. Peter was taken to prison. Peter was chained up between two Roman soldiers. Peter was probably naked, according to as I read this thing. So here he is, chained up. I guess he was chained up like them old pictures you see. He had chains like this. And he'd been whipped, and he'd been beaten, and he's chained up. And they put two soldiers beside him because they know he's a dangerous man in the spirit. When Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. In other words, they was getting ready to bring him out and take him out. He was bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So there's guards beside him, guards at the doors. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." Sometimes we got to be slapped to wake up. His chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So he went to the house where everybody was lifting up constant prayer for him. Who was our girl that come to the door? Was it Rhoda? Was that her name? He knocks on the door where they're praying, and she opens the door and says, "Hello." And she was so excited, she slammed the door and shut it and locked him out and went and told everybody, Hey, Peter's out here. They're going, no, it couldn't be. We're praying. So they're still praying for him to get out. And so finally she convinced them, and he came in, and of course, I'm sure all heaven came down because they were all gathered together to pray for their brother to be freedom. So he sets the captives free, don't he? And I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to. Yeah, maybe I will. Angels sometimes verify wickedness in a nation or a city, and they come back and report to God. Now, you know, well, God knows everything, so why would he need to send somebody out to report back to him? It's the way God does things. He does things in order. He does things like a military, like a perfect government, and he uses people and he uses angels. And he uses them to bring the report back. So it's kind of like, Nina, if I knew you were guilty of a crime and I was a judge and said, "Nina, you're going to prison." Okay, that's it. But even if I knew you were guilty, I would have to hold a trial and I would have to have evidence. So God always wants you to be able to present your evidence, whether you're guilty or, and I think that's what the angels do. They bring forth the evidence. Because I think angels are going to be there when people are going to be cast into the bottomless pit, aren't they? They're going to be standing there, and they're going to be waiting for God to say, either, well done, you good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Yes, they're witnesses. Very good. Angels verify wickedness in a nation or city, and they report to God, and they deliver the righteous from judgment. Two angels went into Sodom, that wicked, wicked city. Two angels went into Sodom, and they were sent there to see what kind of, well, no, they'd already been sent there to see what kind of condition the city was in. It was wicked, wicked, wicked. Sodom. What word do we have from Sodom? What?
Sodomy.
That's where that comes from. So they were very wicked, and these angels were sent there to deliver the righteous, which there was only, I know Lot was, I think his family was just covered under his umbrella, because I know his wife probably wasn't. Well, we know his daughter. No, he was the only righteous man in the whole city. That's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? And so they went in there, and they were going to sleep in the square. And Lot, righteous Lot, it said, come on, y'all come with me. Y'all come stay in my house. You can't stay in, no, we won't stay in, no, you can't stay in the square. Because he knew what happened in the square. So they went back to the house with him. And what happened? It said, not too long after that, knock, 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 knock. Let us in. We want to know those men. Don't mean they want to drink a cup of coffee with them and meet them. It meant we want to know them. No, no, you mustn't do this horrible thing. Take my daughters. What? What? They didn't want the women? No. No, let us know these men that you have brought into your home. Who do you think you are coming into our town? Listen, does that sound like today? Who do you think you are saying what's right or wrong? Who do you think you are? Say, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. So, it said the angels, they got the door open and the angels spoke and blindness came on them. And it said, even though they were blind, they clawed and beat on the door trying to get in. Even though they've been struck blind, Cody, they still were so depraved that knowing these men was more important than their eyesight. That's pretty depraved, isn't it? So the angel said, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, let's get out of here. The rain, the fire, the brimstone's getting ready to hit this place. We're going to toast this place. Come on, let's go. And the angels led them out of Sodom. In fact, it's more like they drug them out of there. Come on, come on, come on. Judgment's coming quickly. So God sends his angels to protect those who are his servants. He leads us out of harm's way. Praise God. Amen. Nana, come up here, please. Yeah, you can just stand up here and look important here for a minute. I want to ask you something. By the way, Nina's a seer. She sees angels a lot. But I'm going to read this first because I looked this up. In fact, Wednesday night, I was stirred to talk about angels a little bit and study about the angels a little bit because, anyway, I looked up and there's this guy named Paul Keith. Help me, Jesus. Y'all. Davis. Yes. Paul Keith Davis. I got a transcript, just a short transcript from him when he was on It's Supernatural with Sid Roth. Y'all could pull it up and watch it. But the name of that was Angels That Gather. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So I read it, I watched it. October of 2003, I stepped into a church service of 1,600 people in worship. Don Potter, my friend, was leading worship. Y'all know who he is. Morning Star. My friend was leading worship. As I stepped in the side door of the building, to my surprise, with my first step, I saw people in worship. By the second step, literally something overshadowed my eyes, and I saw the people as I had seen them the moment before, but now I could see in the spirit realm. All across the back of the building, from one corner to the other, about 6 feet apart, were angels. Sid says, how many angels? I would say 24, maybe a little less. I'm not sure exactly because I didn't count. It was a very wide building. They were about 6 feet apart. They were all clearly taller than me. I was about 25 feet from him. They looked to be about 7 feet tall. They each had on a white robe. Some had a golden sash. Some had a belt around their waist. The countenance of this angelic host was very inviting, very kind, very loving. Unlike warring angels, who are pretty serious beings, these were standing almost at attention. I asked inside my own heart, who are they? And instantly I heard the Holy Spirit say, they're angels that gather. A phrase he'd never heard before. So he sat next to the pastor and said, there are angels all across the back of your church. And he said, what kind? I said, angels that gather. As I sat there a moment, I said, I need a scripture. I'm a word man. I believe in the word of God. So I got out my little Franklin Concordance and looked it up. And it talks about the Son of Man at the end of the age, he will gather the righteous and he will gather the unrighteous and cast them into the pit. And the thing is, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. So I knew by virtue of seeing them that, number one, we're at the end of the age. This is the age of the harvest. But he quoted something Billy Graham said, and I thought that was very... Billy wrote a book called Angels, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not. So it's a pretty good book. But Billy Graham says often, a great man of God, he is a great man of God, isn't he? Franklin's a great man of God, his son. He said, one thing I know about the harvest, it's short. I don't know how many years we have, but I do know we're in a season of harvest. I do believe this from the revelation the Lord has given me, that the harvest will take place in two phases. I thought this was very interesting. Witness with my spirit. The first wave of the harvest, the first ingathering of souls that we're going to see at this point in time, will ultimately become the laborers in the great harvest. He's bringing in people right now. He's harvesting laborers. You know, we haven't seen the fullness, but you see them come in. And it seems like the people that have been coming in recently have been radically saved, radically changed. So we're going to have a wave of harvesters. We're going to bring them in. We're going to train them. You're going to see in this day a great emphasis on equipping, mentoring, and training. Fortunately, the Lord is going to give us grace to be able to train up this generation in a year, where it took us 10 and 15 years before. In a very short period of time, this army of people will be released on the earth, and they're going to begin to bring in the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. So I just want you to tell what you saw Wednesday night. It just lined up so much with...
People were worshiping, which was good. And I just, God opened my eyes instantly, and there were angels walking around the room. They were, there was one back there standing on the carpet. Before you get to the door, and sort of in front of Jenny, and there was, and he just stood there and never moved. But the rest of the angels in the church, they walked around. And I don't think I've ever seen them walk around like that before. There were probably three over there where the chairs are at. There was one right there, one here, and one up front. And then one in the back. I think there was about seven altogether. And they, and you can look at them, but I don't always look at them too close. So I don't know. I don't want them to do what they have to do. But they had light brown collar clothes on, like wheat, but sort of like wheat, but it was a light brown collar, and their belts were the same material. The clothes were, the robe they had on looked like one piece, but it was to the floor, and they had a hair that was different than I've ever seen before. It had brown in it, but it also had lighter collars in it too. So I don't know what that means, except I noticed it. They stayed all during the service, probably after too. And I really feel like they're here today, but God has not allowed me to see them today. But anyway, but that's what I feel like. And Holy Spirit wanted me to say something too, that to me, the angels are interesting, but not exciting. For some reason, they're interesting, but not exciting. I don't know why. If you see one, it might be exciting, but for me, they're interesting to watch what they do. But what's more fascinating and awesome is that you need to believe what Jesus says. That he says that where two or more are gathered together in his name, he's in their midst. And we need to realize that Jesus is right here with us. And the angels are too. I believe the angels are here at every service. But Jesus is here. So that's awesome. But it's also, too, that he's sent the angels here and that he's allowed us to see them. So.
I remember you said they were 7 feet tall.
Yeah, I said that.
The same as when I read this, I thought, that's kind of interesting.
I was surprised by that you said 7 feet tall. Yeah, I was surprised, yeah. There's some that are a lot taller, and they're not little fluffy things, really. They're really strong and... They're not the little... Well, when I started seeing angels, I took every angel picture out of my house. I took every angel and every angel that went on a Christmas tree, every angel that I had statues of angels, I had everything. I took everything out of my house. I couldn't stand them anymore because they did not look like angels. So when you see pictures of angels, they're probably not what the angels really look like. You know, there's several different kinds. They all have a job. They look different than you think they would look according to the job that they have sometimes. So... Anyway, yeah, the 7 feet thing was interesting. Yeah. I've seen angels that gather for years. They gather together. I don't know. I don't remember what I said. You have to remember. I'm nervous.
You have to tell me what I said. They were gathering angels.
I did.
I can't remember.
Yeah. There are angels. There are angels that gather. They gather together. These seem to have the same sort of job, you know. There's other angels that were here. I don't remember when it was, last year maybe. These were also in a harvest type collar, a brown collar, and they do gather together. They sometimes you see one angel. When I first saw one angel, I'd seen him before that. When I first told God I would believe him when I saw it, it was one angel that he showed me. So, and it was a very special angel. But, yeah, they do gather together. I've seen the gathering angels for years. But here they gather together. When I saw them here with that collar on before, except a darker, it was a little bit darker and their clothes were different. There's so many you couldn't count them all because they went way beyond what we could see right here. It was just they were too many of them. So, but they do gather together. Sometimes they dress alike. They usually dress alike when they're gathered together. The ones I've seen, his were dressed different, but the ones I've seen, they dress alike, kind of. So, anyway.
Well, again, it's not about focusing on angels. But to not deny God sends us help, you know, it's like that would be like denying that he gives us gifts of the Spirit, that gives us fruits of the Spirit. You don't want to deny anything in the Word of God. So we need to expect angels to beckon when we're doing the work of God, when we're speaking the Word of God. We need to expect there's angels that are coming to do battle for us. There's angels coming to witness and to heal, to lay hands and heal people. And we just got like the angel that stirred up the waters at Bethesda. You know, there was a reason that an angel stirred that water up occasionally. I don't understand that at all. But it happened. It was in the Word of God. So people came to this pool, and all these sick people came to this pool expecting God to do something for them, didn't they? When they saw the waters, I guess they saw a whirlpool. When they saw the waters stirring, they would jump in the water and they would be healed. But Jesus took it beyond that, didn't he? He said, you want to be healed? There's no excuse for not being healed. You come on, the power of God is here now. But God wants us to know, he wants us to expect miracles, to walk in the supernatural. So Lord, and I believe every one of us have at least one that's guarding over us and protecting us. They call them guardian angels, and you know all that stuff gets flaky. You know, like it's a wonderful life. It's not like that. It's not like that. And angels are not dead people departed and coming back. They're not. They're created beings. And there's plenty more than enough to do the work that God wants to do. So let's stand up. I hope that stirred some expectancy in you. Lord, stir up the waters right now, Lord. Stir up those healing. Well, there's people here, Lord. There's people here, Lord, that need a physical touch, Lord. There are people here that need a touch from heaven, God. There are people here that need their souls touched right now. There's people here that have broken hearts. There's people here that have disease. There's people here that have infirmities, God. And Lord Jesus, you always beckon. You always came and you always had compassion, Lord, even when you wanted to do something else. Even when you needed to rest, God, it said that for the compassion of the Lord would draw you to do things. So, Lord, we thank you. You have compassion for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have compassion for the lost. You have compassion. So, God, I thank you. Your angels are activated. They are in this place. They'll do what you tell them to do, God. We don't command the angels, but, God, we ask that you send everything here that would help out, God, in this time of need, Lord. God, we pray over our nation. We thank you, Lord, that angels would move the hands of people, would move the voice of people, God, that would heal this broken nation, heal these broken hearts in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.